From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, July 5th, 2018. And on this day, reactions to the departure of now former EPA head Scott Pruitt. And we'll go back to Oak Hill High School one more time. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
As we've been hearing, EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt has resigned. He was under investigation for several ethics violations, and Maine Congresswoman Shelley Pingree is apparently happy to see him go. On Twitter, Pingree's message was, "Good riddance." Mal Leary has more.
Democrat Shelley Pingree has been urging Pruitt to resign for months, confronting him at a meeting of the House Appropriations Committee over his spending on first-class air travel and a special secure phone booth in his office. She says his policies as EPA chief have undercut the nation's clean air and clean water laws. She says she is worried that those policies will continue under acting administrator Andrew Wheeler, a former coal company lobbyist. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Meanwhile, environmental groups in Maine are applauding Pruitt's resignation. President Trump announced the move in a tweet today. Susan Sharon has more on the reaction.
Pruitt had been under scrutiny for his travel spending, security costs, dealings with industry lobbyists, and alleged misuse of government resources. He had denied wrongdoing in the face of multiple congressional and oversight inquiries. Trump also announced via Twitter Thursday that the EPA's number two official will take over as acting administrator. Andrew Wheeler is a former coal industry lobbyist. He was confirmed by the Senate as deputy administrator in April. His background concerns Lisa Pullman of the Natural Resources Council of Maine.
I just fear that we will have exactly the same misuse of resources, disregard for the environment, and, you know, that it just won't be the kind of fresh start that people are really calling for.
Pullman says Mainers disapproved of Pruitt's rollbacks to protections for air, water, and climate. In a written statement, Environment Maine said it took a stream of ethical lapses for Scott Pruitt to lose his job, but he never should have had the position in the first place. Pruitt also had well-established ties with industry. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
The U.S. Customs and Border Patrol's Maine office says its agents have interviewed occupants of 21 Canadian registered boats since last fall. That statement comes after a flurry of attention to Border Patrol activity in the area of Machias Seal Island, to which both the U.S. and Canada lay claim. Fred Bever has more.
A representative of Canadian fishermen in the area told reporters there that in June, 10 or more Canadian vessels were intercepted by the U.S. Border Patrol in waters Canada considers its own. He says occupants were interviewed, and in some cases, the vessels were boarded by U.S. authorities. The U.S. Border Patrol statement says that 21 Canadian vessels were, quote, interviewed within U.S. waters during the fiscal year that began in October. The statement does not address whether any of the Canadian vessels were boarded, and although the agency says its interviews were part of ongoing efforts to enforce immigration and other laws, it also says the encounters with Canadian boats resulted in no arrests. Canadian fishermen and the Canadian government say they are working with U.S. authorities to ensure fishermen in the disputed area, often referred to as the gray zone, can continue fishing in a normal manner. Border Patrol officials referred further questions to the State Department, which did not respond to requests for comments. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Several environmental groups have written a letter demanding that the town of Yarmouth and a mill owner fix a broken fish ladder at a dam on the Royal River. The Conservation Law Foundation had previously filed a notice of intent to sue the town and the mill owner over the issue. Sean Mahoney of that foundation told the Portland Press-Herald the old dams are keeping the Royal River from being fully restored for recreation and for the return of critical keystone fish. Yarmouth Town Manager Nat Tupper says Yarmouth residents are divided about the dam removal. One concern is about the effect on boatyards downstream.
And they're very worried that the release of any sediment behind the dams would cause a need for dredging and possibly would release any contaminants that are held above the dams, which would then make the dredging far more difficult and more expensive to permit.
Tupper says the town's taken the matter under advisement and has hired an attorney to review the issues and options. The Maine Girls Academy has announced it'll shut its doors later this month. The Portland-based school, which is the only all-girls private school in the state, announced the decision today on its website. The Academy's board chair, Heidi Osborne, says the decision ultimately came down to declining enrollment and revenue. She says only 91 girls were enrolled at the last school year.
We just ran out of runway to be able to turn it into a successful and sustainable school.
Other private schools, including Lee Academy and Maine Central Institute, have been forced to make cuts this year due to similar enrollment situations. Osborne says the Maine Girls Academy has reached an agreement to allow its students to transfer and attend nearby North Yarmouth Academy next year at no additional cost. And over the course of the past school year, we have followed the implementation of Maine's proficiency-based diploma law through the lens of students and staff at Oak Hill High School near Lewiston. In a series we've called Lessons from Oak Hill, we followed the school's approach to meeting the law's requirements that students become proficient in subjects including math, English, and science in order to get a diploma. In our final story in the series, Robbie Feinberg reports on the progress the school has made over the past 9 months, but continues to confront issues that reach far beyond school walls.
Derek Cody arguably has one of the most difficult jobs at Oak Hill High School. He was brought in last year to serve as the school's interventionist.
It's my job to try, over the course of the year, to get them from, I hate school, I don't care, to, I still hate school, but at least I care a little.
You have your book, right?
Yep.
Excellent.
When I spent time with Cody in the fall, he was working with small groups of freshman English students, many two or three grade levels behind. And getting them caught up is hard work. Instead of getting out their books, the students chanted and pleaded with Cody to play his guitar instead.
Come on! I'll say, come on, get up!
No.
Do it!
Can I use literally 30 seconds real quick?
I can't. No. I'm sorry.
Eventually, Cody would get them back on task. And by the second semester, he was visiting math classes too. Often the work would be more pep talk than algebra lesson.
Punch myself in the face, I swear.
Fine, you're fine. Let's just take some review. You got this.
This intervention process can often be slow and time-consuming. But Cody understands. He says the kids are often dealing with issues that stretch far beyond the school walls.
I mean, there are kids who don't have internet access at home and won't. I mean, it's just not going to happen. We have students dealing with abandonment. Some of them live with aunts or uncles or grandparents, or they're dealing with substance abuse or trauma. I mean, you name it.
In early May, trauma affected the entire school when an Oak Hill student died by suicide. A few weeks later, threats forced the school to close down. One senior named Raven says the threats left her confused and scared.
But, like, you get home and you think about it and you're like, but what if that did happen? But, I mean, it's emotionally draining when it happens all the time.
Staff took action. They brought in counselors to talk with students. And Principal Marco Aliberti says learning basically came to a halt.
To ensure that people are in the right place because, you know, it affected everyone. Affected everyone in this building, affected everyone in this school community in some way, shape, or form.
We just wanted to make sure our students were safe, knew, and let them know that we are here, we care, and if you can, and if you're ready, then let's try to do some work.
And for some students, the school's new intervention system is what ultimately pushed them to keep going. Raven, the 12th grader, says there were times that she just wanted to quit. But she says having a teacher like Cody to talk with one-on-one made a big difference.
So having these support systems around the school was like almost a safe haven for me. Like when I'm having a hard time, I'm just kind of overloaded. It's like, hey, I just need a second to talk.
By the end of the year, students still had to take standardized tests, and staff braced themselves, expecting negative results. But the percentage of students who were deemed proficient in math and English largely held steady from winter to spring. It was a surprising, mostly positive result, says Principal Marco Aliberti, and he attributes it in part to the new system of emotional and academic supports. But no one is necessarily celebrating. Most teachers I talked with told me that this year was one of their hardest. While Derek Cody says he's proud of what the school has accomplished.
My fear is that people are going to start getting a little burned out because the expectations for teachers are, they're significant. And you're not dealing with products. These kids are going to go on and become, you know, our workers and leaders, and it's a lot of pressure.
Across Maine, teachers have expressed similar worries about their own workloads under proficiency-based diplomas. It's a big reason why legislators have recently passed a bill that would eliminate the diploma mandate, though it's yet to be signed by the governor. But at Oak Hill High School, the mood is more optimistic. Administrators say the new intervention and support systems have already led to positive results. And even if the mandate goes away, many staff hope to stay the course on proficiency-based education. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And support for education reporting on Maine Public Radio comes from a grant from the Nellie Mae Education Foundation. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, July 5th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.